This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for February 18th, 2011. I'm Natalie Pincham and I will be reading a summary of some of the articles published by the JNS today. Topics covered in this podcast are vascular disorders and epilepsy. Extraventricular corpus callostomy, a technical note by Jacob Joseph and co-authors. Corpus callostomy offers useful palliation for selected patients with medically intractable seizures. Entry into the lateral ventricle commonly occurs during callostomy, sometimes purposefully to ensure complete callosal disconnection. While ventricular entry is necessary for some procedures, it is recognized in neurosurgery as a cause of increased morbidity. In this report, the authors present a technique that ensures complete sectioning of the callosum while avoiding entry into the lateral ventricles. The anatomical basis of this technique is the presence of a definable cleft just ventral to the callosum in the midline, formed by the fusion of the two laminae of the septum pellucidum. This small cleft is typically present even in the absence of a radiographically evident cavum septum pellucidum. During the procedure, initial division of the corpus callosum is performed precisely in the midline until the cleft becomes apparent. A microhook or a 9-roton dissector can then be placed in the cleft and gently swept anteriorly and posteriorly to divide the body of the corpus callosum without entering the ventricular system. The rostrum and splenium are then divided using subpile aspiration. While experience to date cannot conclusively demonstrate improved clinical outcomes with extraventricular callostomy, this method clearly does reduce breaches in the ventricular system. Rebleeding risk after treatment of ruptured intracranial aneurysms, a clinical article by J. Brett Fleming and colleagues. Early post-procedural rebleeding is an uncommon but potentially devastating complication after endovascular treatment of ruptured intracranial aneurysms. Previous large-scale studies have reported non-procedural rebleeding rates within 30 days of treatment to be from 1.4 to 2.7%. However, these reports included only patients treated before 2004. In the present study, the authors assessed the most recent short-term results of endovascular treatment of ruptured aneurysms in light of recent device developments and evolving techniques. The authors performed a multi-center retrospective review of patients undergoing endovascular treatment for ruptured intracranial aneurysms between July 2004 and October 2009. Patients with rebleeding were compared with those without rebleeding. A total of 469 patients underwent endovascular treatment for a ruptured aneurysm. Non-procedural rehemorrhage occurred within 30 days of the initial coiling in 4 patients. 2 of the 4 patients died after rehemorrhage. Stent-assisted coiling with concomitant antiplatelet therapy was used during the original treatment in 1 of the 4 patients in whom re-rupture occurred. However, no technical, clinical or demographic factors were found to be statistically significantly associated with rebleeding. The findings of this study suggest that the rate of early post-procedural rebleeding has improved in recent years compared with previous reports.
Thank you for listening to the Journal of Neurosurgery. To listen to more of our podcasts, please visit us at thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.